Thank you. the Lord might help me this evening, I will direct your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and the last clause of the last verse, the 20th verse. Matthew 28, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." How glorious a tone to conclude this wonderful record of the Lord's life upon the earth. What an assurance must be conveyed by the Spirit of God to such that are given grace to receive this word. It is not to be received and accepted merely on the plane of presumption. And where the life of God is in the soul, one of the greatest fears is often a fear of presumption. But what God gives eliminates presumption, because God, when he gives, it is accompanied with that power which produces a measure of an assurance in our heart, so that presumption is completely moved out of our thinking. "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The day and age in which we live is so unspeakably terrible, and I don't feel that we really realize how terrible it is. But the more we feel how terrible it is, the more we shall need the fullness of this word to be brought into our hearts. "Lo, I am with you alway." As we drink more deeply into the love of God, as we are taught more fully by the Spirit of God the preciousness of Christ, as we are brought to know something of a little more of his holy person, of his pure mind, and as the reflection of it is felt in our own hearts in that newborn creature, so we shall find the world more difficult to live in. It is a very sad mark against the life of God in your soul if you do not feel the world to be a dreadful place to live in. Now, this does not mean to say that it is dreadful because perhaps you may be in difficult circumstances. It will be a dreadful place to live in as our eyes are opened. And those several points which Our mind was led to mention in prayer this evening, as they are developed before our very eyes, so that we see a variety of causes and cases which make the world such a dreadful place to live in, will bring us more closer to this text. If we are made conscious of the deceit which is in the world and the deceitfulness of sin, and coming a little closer, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If our eyes are opened sometimes to see hypocrisy abounding, and if we are sometimes afraid that our own profession is nothing but that of the hypocrite, if this is sometimes tantalizingly set before us as we wonder in our prayers whether the wishes of our hearts go with the words we say, we shall find even under such circumstances a reality in respect to the desperate situation in which our lot is cast in the present day. But if we should go by the Spirit's teaching to mingle with one another in the world, and to behold their infidelity, to behold their brushing aside of God's laws, and superimposing their own thoughts, becoming a law unto themselves, and if we should see the deception and feel so very much afraid that we shall fall into it, that we shall be overcome by it, even if we relate it to our business affairs or our family affairs, because it can enter in here, there is a deep responsibility resting upon parents that they should not deceive their children in any way. And it is not easy to convey the truth, perhaps the letter of the truth, but how we need to go a little farther than that and ensure that even our offspring may be well aware that the letter can only be dead and can profit nothing. But it is the flesh, but it is the Spirit which quickeneth and will be of eternal benefit. And so, you may well, as you ponder the matter, be able to multiply instances from your own experience whereby your fears have risen high in relation to a few of these points, or perhaps all of these points, or perhaps more than those points that we have mentioned. And if in looking at such a scene, we may have come to the house of God exceedingly depressed, wondering how we shall stand up to such an army to such wars of wickedness, how we should get through, whether we should ever attain thy harbour, whether we shall reach heaven, the heavenly shore, but then how applicable, how suitable, how desirable, oh, that it might be applied to our hearts, are the words of our text, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Let us not forget that. The inclusion of this word, "lo," always, I feel, introduces us to something of great importance. And if we are poring upon ourselves too long, if we are looking at all the wickedness which is in the world and in our own hearts, and if we are greatly disturbed by what we see, and if we are so convulsed with our thoughts in this direction, how much we shall need this word "lo," as it were, to draw us out of ourselves, to deflect our attention. "Lo, I am with you alway." But who is this great and glorious person, "I"? And how will it benefit us if he is with us? May the Spirit of God teach us this evening the greatness and the glory of Jehovah in the person of Christ, and may this be our strength, and may we go from the house of God considerably strengthened and encouraged that after all we shall not be overcome, that after all we shall not fall away, but after all we shall not succumb absolutely to the subtleties of of Satan, but because of this promise we shall join in singing, "Yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Lo, I am with you alway." Now the way in which this text is worded, I feel we can look backwards at the present and also look forwards. "Lo, I am with you alway." Alway will have these three phases included. And since, as Dr. Watt says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ever-present now, so whether we look in the past, we can reflect upon this word. If we regard the future, the word is with us. If we look if we regard the present, this word is with us. And if we look into the future, it is still a word that is sure. Not only a word that is sure, but a word that has been proved, past and now. "And lo, I am with you alway." going back to the book of Exodus, you will recall that when Moses was suddenly struck and turned aside to see that great sight, the bush burning and yet not consumed, and God speaking to Moses out of the bush, speaking to him about the sad plight of the children of Israel in Egypt, and giving him the commission to go to them and to tell them that God had sent him. And Moses was greatly perturbed at this, and he said, "Whom shall I say hath sent me?" And the Lord God answered, "I am. I am that I am." And lo, I am with you. Can we look at the word with this complex upon it? Not just I, but I am. God with you. And this reminds us of the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And we have the same name here, I am, God with us. I am with you always. So our mind this evening would make this point, I am. It is not just I, but it is I am. It is the name of God inscribed. I do not know how this might agree with interpretation from the original language, but be that as it may, to look at this I am as God will surely bring an added sweetness into these few words. You see, leaving this thought out and repeating this word, I am with you always, well, it lacks decisiveness. It lacks power. It could be a man. But there is more in this word than a mere man. The man Christ Jesus, indeed. But now he was risen from the dead. I am the ever-present God. As we read in the Psalms, a very present help in time of trouble. Lo, I am God with you always. Surely the psalmist had a precious view like this when he said, "This God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death." May we, upon examination of our own personal experience of the Lord God this evening, be able to say, "My God has this name, I am." And it is this God that assures me this evening, he is with me always. Now there is only one God that is named I am. I know the presumption of man has been exceedingly great. And so we can read in Isaiah and also in Hosea of God looking into the proud heart of man, and they're seeing this: thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and there is none beside me. In other words, and how sadly we see it, particularly in the present day, men can well dispense with God. They feel that they are quite equal to deal with every eventuality, and not only so, but to maintain life. But there is only one that can maintain life, and that one is life. And that one is God. And the revelation of God to man is through Jesus Christ. I am. So we see set before us in these words, I am with you always, the eternal God in the person of Jesus Christ. This had its significance to the disciples because shortly he was to leave them. As far as this, his bodily presence was concerned, he had told them already about this. They were very troubled. He said, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. One next aspect and interpretation of that word is surely this. As he spoke to them, ye now therefore have sorrow. I am going away. You'll still see me crucified upon Calvary's tree. You will have sorrow, the world will rejoice, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And so we find the Lord Jesus here appearing to these disciples after his resurrection and assuring them that he had not been overcome, he had not been vanquished, but he had been the conqueror. He had overcome sin, death, hell, and the grave. And he was now about to ascend unto his Father. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we can read how he led them out as far as to Olivet. And while he blessed them, he ascended up into heaven and heard those blessed angels say, this same Jesus, which ye see go up into heaven, shall in like manner come again. But though he would be absent from them in what we may consider bodily presence, yet this word assured them that his spirit would always be with them. I am with you always. Always, therefore, will bring us to embraced circumstances, trying pathways in our lives, days of adversity, but also in days of prosperity. Sometimes we may be foolish enough to think that we need God very much in adversity, but he is not so essential in prosperity. Perhaps some of us have lived long enough and have been in such a pathway to realize this, that we have needed God in one sense much more in the day of prosperity. He, man, gives us a warning note. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. And regarding riches, he says, lest I forget God. And that spirit is very prevalent today, friends. And it's a spirit that you and I have got to watch closely. Lest I forget God. So we shall need God as riches increase. Says the word, set not your heart upon them. How we shall need this word to be a reality. Lo, I am with you always. If we are not to set our heart upon riches. Now when we speak about riches, we can speak of them in the comparative sense. If our condition is easier and more favorable today than it was 10 years ago, then we have the comparative sense of increased riches. So there is the warning, so essential, isn't it, from God's word that we should not set our heart upon them. Now, you will not be able to deal with this matter merely by making up your mind not to do it. Because we are natural. And if God teaches us, we shan't be able to point the finger of scorn or throw a stone at the man we may see down the road whose whole mind is devoted to increasing his riches. If you and I are not in the same place, that's by the mercy of God. But how are we going to be prevented, be saved, from not setting our heart upon the things of time as they increase? The answer is to be found in this word. Lo, I am with you always. Now, if we are born again of the Spirit, God will have given us a treasure. One blessed man said, in heaven my choicest treasure lies. That word choicest is significant. He did not say that there were no other treasures. And if we are truthful, we are bound to acknowledge that there are some things in our lives which we treasure. But we can still treasure them and have a choicest treasure. We can still have a value, set a value upon some of the things that God has given to us. But at the same time, have a choice treasure. And that is Christ. So that if it came to the point that we had to throw away all, will you have Christ? Or will you have this article that you value so much? Oh, it is a good place to be in. An evidence of the grace of the life of God in the soul. An evidence that I am the mighty God with you always. When we can say, help, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. When Christ is revealed to the soul, it's a manifestation of his presence with us. If we are born again of the Spirit, our choicest moments will be when Christ is revealed in our hearts as the hope of glory. And it will be a very special revelation to your soul if, having received an unusual mark of prosperity in your life, a successful year in business, shall we say, and suddenly, because of this word, lo, I am with you always. The blessedness and the wonder of the successful year in business is squeezed out of it as to its pleasure. And it has no appeal. Jesus is the one thing needful. I, without him, perish must. Lo, I am God with you always. But maybe some of you might, at the moment even, have a deeper appreciation of what you may feel poverty. Now, poverty occurs whenever your outgoings can exceed your incomings. You see, some people would think that in order to be in poverty's veil, you've got to have nothing in the house but perhaps a dry crust, and then you're in poverty. But maybe some of you have found, you have felt to be in poverty when the outgoings have exceeded the incomings. Now you've needed God to appear. You have needed God to provide. Lo, I am God with you always. But then God is with you always. And remember, the Lord here is speaking specifically to his disciples. He is with you always to instruct you. There's none that teacheth like him. And this will be one of the principal effects of Christ being with you always. He will be with you to instruct you. And it will be a blessed sight when your heart is teachable. Now this has its connection in the rest part of this verse. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatever people may say, perhaps for want of knowledge, teaching is a very arduous business. It is arduous, especially when the scholars or the pupils are unwilling to learn, are unwilling to pay attention, or even are bold enough to object their own thoughts. And we can well imagine frustration of this description. Being a very trying experience for those that teach in our school. you know, friends, we can bring it into the house of God. I venture to say that a ministry that will be most profitable will be what we call a teaching ministry. And this was the exhortation laid upon these disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now it's very frustrating and very discouraging to those who would teach you to observe all things to find you're not paying attention, to find you're unwilling to listen, or to raise your own personal objections and to say, well, I'm not going to observe it. Perhaps that consideration may bring us face to face with the arduous character of endeavouring to be a teacher. So therefore, such will find the significance of this word, lo, I am with you always. We may find it in the category of parental activities, to be teachers. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And perhaps some of you have had the experience of many disappointments, many frustrations. You began to think that your teaching ability wasn't very great at all. It wasn't worthwhile. You weren't getting anywhere. And in these present days, how prevalent is frustration even in this sphere? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so in this phase of the text, we may consider the beauty, the strength and consolation which may be received by divine application. And lo, I am with you always. With you in your teaching, when you're absolutely frustrated, when you feel that your words are falling on deaf ears, when you feel that your example is not being respected. Sometimes when you have an unusual experience and you are afraid you've taught the wrong thing. How we shall need the fullness of these words in the hour of such temptation. And lo, I am with you alway. There's a very sweet and blessed word which will be applicable to all, whether they are teachers or those that are being taught. That I see not, teach thou me. And that can always be a relevant prayer. We shall never have reached such a stature that we shall need no longer to be taught anything. We shall never reach that maturity in this life where we shall say, there's nothing more to be learnt. But if we may leave the subjects which form the syllabus in our universities even, and come down to a school of Christ. Do we not need to be taught continually? Lo, I am with you always to be your teacher. And though men may fail, as we have perhaps felt ourselves to have failed so often, we have here an infallible teacher. Lo, I am with you always to teach you to observe all things. Now, just previous to this, in the 19th verse, there is this command from God: Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. No, friends, it may be that in some cases even the servants of God have labored hard to bring the attention of some to this important command of God. And they've despaired. I have. Wearied. Because there's no response. We shall need God to be with us. Lo, I am with you always. I am. And God is with us always, observing these things. Observing whether others are observing that which is enjoined upon them. But sometimes these things are necessary, and they're all part of God's teaching. Because, you see, it brings us to see this. That if there is to be any teaching effectual, if there is there to be any observation effectual, if there is to be any walking and answering to these observations and these teachings, it is to be God that must have the glory. It is to be God that shall teach them to observe all things. He teaches a prophet. Not only is there the spoken word, as it were, but the divine and powerful application so that he fills the heart with love. This brings a point in respect to teaching. You see, teaching can be without love. It can be hard. It can be unrelenting. It can be laying down the law, as it were. If you are a bad scholar, Then the only method known to some is to drive it in by punishment. Not so with God. Not so with God. His teaching is by love. And this will break your rebellious spirit. Lo, I am with you. Always. One of the sweetest sights for any Christian person to view is to see rebellion broken down. I've sometimes looked at the case of the man that had two sons, you know, and he said to them, Go, work today in my vineyard. And the one said, I go, sir. And he went not. But the other said, I will not go. But afterwards he repented and went. And if you've known the experience yourself of that son, or if you've been favored to view it in others, it's been very blessed to see the spirit of repentance. What made the son repent like that? What made him change his mind? What made you change your mind? What made you repent? It was because of the glory and blessedness of this word. Lo, I am, the mighty God, is with you always. to enshroud you with his love, to melt your heart, to make the adamant depart, to take away the rebellious spirit. You know, friends, if we are rebellious with God, well, a rebellious dwell in a dry land. But there's another very blessed and sweet word from the Psalms, and that is this. He hath ascended up on high. He hath led captivity captive. He hath received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And you know, if God underscores those words for the rebellious also, and that points at you, then you'll get a sense of the love that is discovered to the soul when this word is worked out. Lo, I am the mighty God with you always. Oh, what a difference. When the Lord draws near, a rebellious spirit will often prevent us drawing near to God. Especially if God shines upon it, it'll make you feel very wretched. And you feel you cannot come at all. But God can come to us. Lo, I am with you always. In spirit, and sometimes I'll manifest myself. I am with you always. If your situation should be of that desperate kind described in the parable of the Samaritan, you can't believe that, perhaps. Some of us that have known the bitterness of outward backsliding can hardly conceive the fullness of this truth. But God is not a man that he should lie. And though we may not feel his comfortable presence, yet the eye of the Lord is upon everyone that he has loved with an everlasting love. And remember, friends, that love is not dependent upon any good deeds, good tempers or frames. Lo, I am with you always. I am with you. As good Mr. Hart says, cheer up, desponding soul, on Jesus' aid rely. He sees you when you see not him. And always hears your cry. Lo, I am with you always then to hear your cry. He hears the groaning of the prisoner. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye. Now what follows? When none but God is near. You see, lo, I am with you always. When your prayers are nothing accounted of. When if you came to the prayer meeting and called on, you wouldn't be able to say a word. But this word still remains true. Lo, I am with you always. There was a very good verse in the hymn that we have just sung. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. I am with you always. to be your strength. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And that which Isaiah spoke about so many years ago has been an acknowledged experience of the people of God throughout all ages. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Lo, I am with you always. Can you add your amen to this? He has been with you to be your righteousness. When? The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But how can you come as the vilest sinner out of hell? How could you approach the Most High God in such a dreadful condition? It is as Christ is your righteousness. It is he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God. Be thou my strength, strength to come, strength to look to Christ, strength to point to Christ, that he is my righteousness, and lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found. He took the robe the Saviour wrought, and cast it all around. Now there is much to be said from these words. And perhaps as the Spirit of the Lord may lead your minds in meditation, perhaps you may draw forth from sweetness therefrom. Lo, I am with you always. In many more aspects of the word than we have had time to mention this evening. Even unto the end of the world. This is what we're concerned about, aren't we? We're concerned about this time state. In heaven, then this will be a reality. Now we walk by faith. These are words which will encourage us to believe in God. Even unto the end of the world. So therefore, we may view it until the day of our death. But if, when we come to the day of our death, we may perhaps look at our children gathered around our bedside and say, oh, but what about my children? Then, the end of the world. You see, the Lord still lives. God, who has been to the end of the world with us, will go to the end of the world with our loved ones that will continue after we are no longer upon this earthly scene. And so on through succeeding generations, even unto the end of the world. Well, now, it's many years since these words were written. Many generations have come and passed away. And this word is as real today as it was when it dropped from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And it is as powerful and as full and as free and as glorious. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May this be our blessed portion, because if it's true, then heaven is sure. We're bound to get there. He'll not be in, if we two are so joined, he'll not be in heaven and leave me behind. There we shall see his face, and never, never sin. There, from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in.
Lord Holmes, the Parkable preacher, on Monday next week, I will sing the first.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the eternal Spirit abide with us. Amen.